of us, consume us from the top to the bottom, inside and out. Just take us over, possess us. Take us to the next dimension, the next place, Lord. We love you and we give you our hearts. We give you permission. We give you rights. We give you everything, God. And you're so patient and so kind and so loving, opening up our eyes to see who you really are. Lord, if you walked into the room, we would be on our faces. So, Lord, thank you that we're in process. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're here. And thank you, Lord, that our lives are catching up to who you are even more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this celebration of your love today. Thank you, God. We just praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're a grateful people, Lord. We want to increase that way. We celebrate you, God. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Just take us now. Take us to that next place. Remove the dullness. Remove the lethargy. Remove anything, God, that would keep us from championing you completely in every way. Because you are the champion of our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You want to give a testimony today? Andy's not here, but he asked me to ask Haley, or he already asked Haley, to share something about an amazing healing that we had on Friday night. I mean, he was so excited. He was just elated, bouncing around, just completely over the top. So come on up, hey, you can share this. This is really good. This is being recorded, right, Steph?
Pictures from First Friday are incoming. So we just airdropped them like a minute ago. So they'll be up on the screen and once they figure out how to do the computer stuff. So Andy had a great testimony. I was sitting next to him, and then I heard him give the testimony. Like, he was so excited about it. He retold it 3 or 4 times, and I heard it every single time he retold it. So I pretty much know this, even though I didn't actually talk to the guy myself. I was sitting with a kid or somebody that I was drawing for down at First Friday at our ministry booth. And there was a couple, and they had a really young child. I think the kid was in a stroller that sat down where Andy was. And Andy drew a picture for the mom. He wasn't sure if she received anything or not, but then she had to go do something. She grabbed the kid in the stroller and walked away. The guy was just standing there, hanging out, continued to have conversation with Andy. So Andy never even drew for this guy. He was just happened to be there hanging out because his wife went to go do something else. I don't know. So Andy has this discussion with him, and out of the blue, this guy goes, "I can't forgive my father for something." And Andy was like, "I don't even know why this guy is sharing this to me. We weren't talking about anything that was going down that path at all. This guy just kind of offered that." What? Yes. Yeah, this guy just kind of offered that I can't forgive my father. And so Andy started asking questions like, what is it that you can't forgive him for? And it turns out, I don't know how long ago it happens, but there had been a dispute between this guy and his father. The father had punched him in the shoulder and broke his shoulder or broke his collarbone or broke something in his shoulder. And the guy was still very much in pain from it. He said on a level of like 1 to 10, his pain level was around a 6 or a 7 that night that he was there. And so then Andy, in Holy Spirit boldness, told the guy, "I think God will heal you tonight if you forgive your father. But first we have to forgive your father." And so Andy walked him through that. And yeah, so Andy was very bold in saying that if you forgive your father tonight, your shoulder will be healed. He just prophesied that, basically. And so then the guy was willing to walk through that. He forgave his father. And then as soon as the prayer was done, he was like, "My shoulder's completely healed." I don't know. We don't have pictures of that guy. He was camera shy, but we have other pictures.
Awesome. So, Lord's doing many things when we reach out and step out and We've had so many testimonies of how he's faithful in that. And we have wanted you to be thinking and praying and aware of another way that we're stepping out as a church, and that's with the Greenlight Missions trip. So if I can have all of the kids who are in Greenlight Missions, when you come to the class in the back, come up to the front. I just want everybody to be able to aware that you guys are headed on a mission trip in 2 weekends. And there's several that aren't here. Paul and the Rogers and the Liptaks are not in the building this morning, but Luke and Isaac. So I just want you guys to have these faces in your mind to be praying for, because we are stepping out on a missions trip in 2 weekends, and we're going to be, and Lawrence is part of this too. we're going to be reaching out and sharing Jesus in ways that maybe are new and different. Also, for each of us to step into, and maybe ways that we haven't done before. We're going to be serving in a soup kitchen. We're going to be having a outreach in downtown Canton that we're going to be gearing up for, and we're going to be praying for people and seeing what the Lord brings our way. So just as we pray for the other mission trips that are going involve an airplane, this one doesn't involve an airplane, but it does involve Jesus and stepping out in faith. So asking that you guys would be praying for the outreaches and for the people God has prepared to hear the gospel, and then also for us as we're learning, you know, to step into something new in this way. This is the first time we've had this kind of Greenlight Missions trip, and so praying for all the details there. And also just realizing that this is going to be, it's a full weekend. It's Friday morning to Sunday evening, so it's a full weekend. It is shorter than one of the longer overseas missions trips, but you know, a lot happens in these weekends, and if you've ever been to a weekend retreat or you've ever been on a mission trip, you know that a lot happens both in your heart and what God does through that time. So just be praying for these hearts that you see up here and the ones that aren't here this morning. I'm going to pass it over to Lawrence.
I was just curious to see how long you'd go before you dragged me up here. How many of you guys, quick show of hands, how many of you guys have traveled overseas with Frontline? Look around. Rick, your hand's not up. You've been on, like, several trips. There we go. Okay, raise your hand if you've had a family member or a friend go overseas. So that should be everybody in the house. So how many of you guys know that the Lord blesses that process in a way that only He can do? And the heart behind this and the thing that inspired it is what does it look like to carry a vision into the generations? And so I can speak as a parent. I've got, my oldest is turning 10 next month, and I know that the Lord has been slowly increasing and giving us vision and an expectation for what He wants to do with him overseas. And I believe that this is actually the beginning of that process. We want our children to understand what it looks like, because many of them, how many of you guys have had a parent go overseas? So you guys have all experienced what it's like for a parent to disappear for anywhere from 1 to 8 weeks. So we want them to understand what it is that we're doing. We want them to understand the value that God puts on these things. So the Greenlight Missions thing is really equipping them and carrying them into the next season of what the Lord wants to do, because we believe that the Lord is able to speak through them just as much as He is through us when we go overseas. And I can speak from personal experience, even though this is only like 2 to 3 days long, the hardest moment of my mission history was the first 3 days of my first mission trip. So, yes. And everybody that was on that trip with me agrees, because it was probably the hardest moment they ever had as well. So when we say that we're doing a Greenlight Missions trip, this isn't just a fun weekend. We are going to have fun because we want them to be excited about everything that the Lord's going to do. But we want everybody to understand that what the Lord's doing in them and through them is something that He wants to carry on for years to come. So we really believe that this is the beginning stage of carrying that vision into the next generation, because we want to see that carried forward. So we are excited about everything the Lord's going to do. And your prayers and your support are greatly, greatly appreciated. So,
also, thank you for everybody who has volunteered or been asked to help. And if it's on your heart and you want to volunteer. There's more stuff to be done beforehand to prepare. There's expenses for that, and then there's also, helping during that weekend. And then at the Sunday morning, the 19th, we are inviting the whole church over to come to our house where we'll have been living for that weekend, and come and have church there and hear from the children what the Lord has done over the weekend. And also, I wanted to ask you if you could bring your own lawn chairs. And also, if you want to stay afterwards for lunch, if you can bring a dish and we can just put them in the kitchen there, and we can, after service, we can eat together. So.
Thank you, Isaac. Undetermined, extra fun after we eat on Sunday. To be determined for the mission, young ones. But bring food. That would be great. We can all share together. That would be awesome. There are obviously children missing from this picture, so please don't put this on Facebook. That could bring hurt and pain to people or offense or something. So just wait. Next weekend, next Sunday, we can invite everyone. We can have a commissioning for our Green Light missions, because it'll be the following Friday that we start. So we just want everybody to be included, so we don't want to hurt anybody. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, we're excited. Well, you guys get to watch a little bit, very small, before you leave to go to Green Light missions, small little bit of what we showed in Africa. It's called Magdalena, and I think you might show this, you might have this at the Larson place next week or two weekends from now. And you know these guys are staying in our tents. So I'm very excited about that. This is very good. And I know that some are wondering if they're going to have bucket showers. It's very possible. It's very possible, especially in warm weather. That is a really cool thing. When it's not warm weather, it's still a really cool thing. Like cool. But anyway, it'll be determined later. So we're going to show you at the very beginning of this. Just imagine that you're outside and you've got many Africans around you, and you've got stars up in the sky, and there's no light except our big light for the movie and for the actual lights that we have for our crusade. We're not going to show a lot of it. It's just the very beginning of what happened at creation. So we're going to turn all the lights off, and we're going to close the doors just so they can see this real easily, please. And as they're getting this ready, if Rachel said this and I daydreamed, I'm really sorry. But right as I'm preaching, they're going to be writing their support letters in the back and doing the best they can. This is a team effort. This is not individual. I do what I want and I fit into my own life. We're together because there's a lot of unity there. So we're asking for a little bit of time so that no one feels rushed if they're not completed, whatever completion place that Rachel and Lawrence seemed to think is necessary, because they're going to give, we're going to put these in envelopes, these letters in envelopes, and give them to parents. So we just want to complete the process so we're all doing something together. So it's all part of mission building, because we don't have a mission training weekend and things like that. So the children's hearts will be in the letters that they're writing in the back, which is one of the reasons that we're starting a little bit earlier than some Sundays. So let's go ahead and watch this and just imagine, oh my gosh, I'm in Africa, or I'm going to be on the streets in Canton. Either one. This is our Jesus, children. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus came to be on this earth, and you're going to hear a lot more about that. And I believe that the Lord's going to change each one of you in this process, even beyond where you've ever understood and thought Jesus was. Who is Jesus to you? And you're going to learn more. But more than that, he's going to change. He's going to touch your hearts of love. And that's for all of us. And I believe in this process for Green Light missions and everything that God has in this season right now. The Lord is really trying to get our attention. And so if you remember at the very beginning of this, Mary Magdalene said, oh no, we don't want to start with the birth of Jesus when he first came. We want to start at the beginning. So the very beginning of this whole understanding, this whole story about creation is very important for us to really realize, because Jesus is changing us from the inside out. And you saw that snake there? That snake represented pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. Abraham was humble. He said, I will obey you. I will sacrifice my son. And Adam and Eve went against what God said, and they walked in pride. And when they walked in pride, they were walking in disobedience. And so Jesus came to change things for us all and restore the harmony between God and man, and also remove the shame, restore the harmony and the honor. And you'll learn more about that. And I believe that in this season, God's going to raise up all of us to a point where humility will be our highest aim to become like Jesus. And that's the desire of our heart for our kids when they go through this process, that they will be changed on the inside out, that there will be a new birthing of the movement in the area of humility, which would be the character and nature of Jesus. And that's our heart here. That's what we want to do. The Lord put this on my heart right at the end of when I was sharing. We were sharing together this morning, the Lord and I. And he said, show the beginning of this and speak what I tell you about it. And the other thing he said to me was, show this picture to them. I don't know if you've seen it. I just found out it's on the website. But I want you to see it. So flip the lights off, please. I want you to see this little girl, everybody. Her name is Joyce. And we went into a village last year, a place called Mabalani, I believe is where we met Joyce. And her grandmother was steeped or was just involved in all kinds of witchcraft. Her mother was not in the picture. Her mother had gone or was dead. But the grandmother was raising her. And the grandmother took this little girl to the witch doctor, to a bad place. In other words, she was supposed to take care of her granddaughter, but she took her to a place where there was disobedience. She didn't take her to a place to help her. This girl could not speak, could not hear, and was blind. Okay, she's called a deaf mute who could not see, as far as I remember. And so when I saw her there, someone pointed her out to me. It just broke my heart because she couldn't see, and she couldn't speak, and she couldn't hear. Last year, when we met her, we prayed for her, and she could speak, she could say Yesu for Jesus, she could hear, and she could see. And that was one of the greatest moments of my life, to see a child set free from hell like that, from the serpent, from the evil one, from the pride, from the wickedness. It was so wonderful. So this year, to see her like that, I was so angry. I was so angry inside. I was angry. Yes, P&P was angry. Was angry at the enemy. How dare you come back and steal from her? But you know what happened? Her grandmother took her to the witch doctor after we left. And she lost everything again. But God brought her once again to meet us. And I don't know when it was, a couple days before this, Haley was in a village with us, and one of the girls there gave her a wraparound. It's blue and white, and I put it around this little girl, and it's called a capilana. So Haley got back on the bus and just kind of, you know, threw it up and said, hey, I got this. I said, oh, okay. Who's it from? Oh, this girl. Okay. Is it for you? Is it for me? Is it for the mass? Who is it for? I don't know. So we just left it right there. It was shortly before that. I don't know, Haley, if it was the same day or 2 days before. Haley, do you remember when you got that? What? The AG Church. That's right. So it was a couple days before. Okay. So when I saw this girl, I went on the bus or had someone on the bus give me this capilana, wrap it around her, and put her in the front row so she could watch this movie. Except she couldn't see, she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear. Okay? In one eye, sorry. Yes, she had one eye that she could see out of. Thank you, forgot about that. She couldn't see out of the one eye. So I told her grandmother, I said, listen. I told her what was going on. And I was very direct with her. And I said, this is not Jesus. You've been used to hurt your child. And I said, this is not okay. And so we need to talk about that. And so we did talk about that. And at the end, the grandmother came up to give her life to Jesus and to get freed from witchcraft. And so did this little girl stand there And at the end, she could say, Yesu. She could hear. And we're believing that after we left, she could see out of that eye. At that moment, she couldn't. But we know our God. Yeah. Come on. So the enemy is stealing all the time if we let him. And he's stealing when pride's moving. And if we don't know what that is, and we kid ourselves, he's still stealing. And we need to understand that. So we're going to learn more about that. And we praise God for this little girl. And I also, before we leave, I also want to thank each one of you for praying so much for so many people that we've asked you to pray for. You've gotten texts and you've gotten emails. And I know we're all busy. And we get things and we like, oh my gosh. And then we start praying. So thank you for that. Thank you for praying for Cynthia's mom, for Maria, for the last year plus, and Cynthia and Lawrence and the kids. And I don't know if you want to share anything about where that process is right now or not. If not, that's fine. So we've been in touch. We're close to Sin, her husband, of course. And we're talking to her and praying with her, too. And so we're still praying for Maria, and there's some movement on some direction, and he'll share that when he wants to. So we want to keep praying for Maria and pray for Sin and the family back there and the kids, all of the kids. Their summer looks a little different than some of the kids up here. So we want to be praying for that family. And we also want to thank you for praying for Sirvani, one of the girls in our home in India. And she possibly could have TB, the doctor said, so they have her on some medication. And if it works for this month, then that will take care of what they think it could be. But she's been having these high fevers at night. But I talked to Sunitha a couple days ago, and this comes and goes and comes and goes. So thank you. We really appreciate it. Just thank you for doing whatever you can do. We're blessed by that. So thank you so much. And thank you for praying for Joe Calhoun and continuing to pray for him and some of the others. Help me. I can't hear you. Mary Teresa, thank you. We've been praying for Mary Teresa for a long time. And thank you for that. I just want to thank you for the long-term praying that many of you have put your knees to. And you've done that. And thank you for that. We appreciate it. And there's other people too, I'm sure. So if there's anybody else that I'm just missing an obvious one, just throw the name out here. I'm not trying to miss anybody. We're very grateful to you. So pray for this little Joyce, that she would have the fullness of everything. That would be really great. So, Lord, we just thank you for all those you put in our care to be able to lift up to you, Lord. All these families, all the ones, God, for Peter's mom and dad, for my dad, for Josh's dad, God, for all of our family members that we've received emails and texts about here. Also those abroad, the ones we've mentioned today already. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for what you're doing and how accurate you are in your releasing of healing from all of our maladies and all of our infirmities and all of our shame and sickness. So we thank you for that. We give you praise and we bless your holy name. Amen. So God bless you and thank you for your investment that way. So children, you're free to go write your letters or whatever. I don't know if you wanted to just take them, Rach, back there or not or whatever. Okay. And there's two, I know it's really warm in here, and there's a fan here, and if you, I don't know, however you want to make it cool for you, I'm okay. I don't have a problem with the real heat. So if we've got two here, and it's kind of warm in here, so if we want to open the doors for sure, and then put these out here, you fan people help me out. I don't know where they'd be best placed, if you can help. And if you want to move close to a fan, that'd be better. So let's do that. And we're still being recorded, yeah? Okay. Can we bring that down? Can you bring this over here for me, please? Thank you. Thank you. Can you move that so it doesn't affect me? I don't need any air. Do you want to put it up somewhere? What do you think, Josh? I don't care. Anyway, you guys are the engineers here. I don't care. Just make it as cool as possible for you guys. Thank you, Lord. I think this was already passed out. Relentless Pursuit. Did everybody get one of these? Yes? Okay. These went out in an email form yesterday. Thank you, Carly. Thank you, Mike, for working so hard on this, and Jamie as well. And we have a newsletter that Jamie in particular, Mike started it all off, have been working on and just giving so many hours. And we're so grateful for your hours of sacrifice. God bless you. Thank you so much. And Carly's help too. And we have a newsletter that is coming. And Carly, you can take that back to the teachers too so they have one. Okay. And Relentless Pursuit obviously is in 8 weeks. And so if you want to check your email, if you get Gmail, it might be in your spam or your trash or promotional areas. What's that? Promotions. And I don't know, Carl, we don't have an idea what we can do that changes that. It's just so personally annoying, not at you, it's just at this situation, because I don't know how to do that. So many people have Gmail, and we'd like them to get to have this not go into trash, but I don't know how to do that or into promotional areas. So if you have any ideas, let us know. But anyhow, Relentless Pursuit's coming up. We've got a good lineup here, and we're just inviting you to do whatever it takes to get here, because we are bringing these folks in, and I believe it's God's perfect timing on what he wants to do. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing today. Thank you, Father, for touching our hearts, God, for recalibrating us, Lord, that we would see why we were created, why we're here, what we're supposed to do when we're here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your process. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for taking us back to the basics and reminding us, God, that you want to change us in the process. You want us to be completely consumed and possessed by you. Thank you, Lord, for last week. Thank you for the explosion of power and grace and mercy from the Mozambique team. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we'll be able to watch that this week once that's finished. Thank you, Lord, we can watch that video and be recalibrated in that area again. Lord, that we know that you did something in all of us last week. And Lord, we're asking you to define that. We're asking you to show us what that is, and we're asking you to make it really clear to us as you change us in this process that we're all in, this journey of life. We love you so much, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Lord, may we understand the true meaning behind relentless pursuit, that you're pursuing us relentlessly, and we're to do the same. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again. Love wins forever. Amen. Okay, is everybody feeling cooler? Oh, no. Does that help, whatever they did? I can feel the air right up here if you want to come around here. I don't need it. So if anybody wants to sit in the front row, it's really airy up here. Honestly, I'm serious. Or sit on the floor. It's airy up here. Thank you. It's not for us. Oh, hey, there's another one up there, too. There's actually two up there, and they're both on. Okay. Today, I want to talk about responding to the call. In the middle of a 90-degree day, and in the middle of our world that always needs to be interrupted, because that's the Lord's way. He interrupted Mary Magdalene. He interrupted everybody in the Bible. And he said, hello, here I am, and I've got Jesus here to mess with you. And we have the entire Word of God to be able to help us actually pursue God in full heart and allow him to come in and tweak the very things inside. You know, it's not about how happy we are and how much fun we have. The true joy of the Lord is something spiritual inside which touches our life. But he wants to get us to a place that we can glory in our infirmities and take pleasure. That is just over the top. And Paul said that he was, or could be, that he was not, he was the chief of sinners, and he was not saying that he had attained this, but that he had come to a place of peace and contentment, even in places where he didn't understand what was going on. He just didn't. You know, I think of, not to be gross here, but Cynthia changing colostomy bags all the time and emptying that every day in the heat, and all kinds of things like that with a joyful spirit. You know, and she'll tell you about that when she comes back, I'm sure. And what it's been like in this siege, you know, during this last year. I can't imagine what it was like for Abraham when he was told by the Lord, sacrifice your son. And he said, okay, I need to be obedient. He didn't say, or at least he didn't, we don't see it on the movie or in the scripture, he didn't say, well, that's not you. He may have had a personal struggle at first, but he was so overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord in his own heart and the true faith in who he was to him, God, who he really, really was to him, that he was able to say yes. Can you imagine that? What if we were asked to do the same? Would that happen? Maybe not in this season as easily, but the Lord's wanting to increase our obedience to him out of love, but not to be just talking about it, to actually experience these changes. So I said to Sin on the phone yesterday, late morning, when Lawrence and PB were together, I said, you know, we're all called just to listen very clearly to the voice of the Lord. Wow, that is really a nice breeze up here. Join me if you'd like. It's just really nice. But he said, the Lord says, I said to her, I said, he's just asking us to be in such close communion with him that we can stop, and it's not really a sacrifice anymore. It's our time, it's our energy, it's our focus, it's for other people. Is way beyond what gives us that initial, oh, this feels so right, this feels so good. So I know last week, Haley came out with this American Dream statement. And we're like, where'd she get that? Wow. May have been in one of the many communions that we had on the bus. I don't know. But she was very strong. And if you weren't here last week, you missed something that I think God wants all of us to see and hear. It's not like, oh, I'll pick that up again. I think it would behoove you to get your hands on the audio and the video, because I believe almost all the entire church was up here kneeling before the Lord at the end. God was doing something. And it wasn't because of Haley. It was because the Lord was increasing in the testimonies the entire time, and Haley got to be at the end there. But it also was because of Haley, too, in her obedience to just run with it. I told her up here, whatever you got, just run with it. She said, I will. So things came out of her mouth she probably doesn't still know unless she listened to the audio, which is online. But the video is coming this week. But I know she invited people to come up here and do business with God. Well, you know, when we do business with God, whatever that looks like, then we can expect there's a change. There needs to be a change in our heart, and then there'll be a change in what happens beyond that. So it's really important. It's really important for us to recognize that that's what's going on. The Lord says, okay, it's time for a release. It's time for a response. He's always wanting us to respond to him, but especially when we've encountered him. So, because he says, now what are you going to do with what just happened? You're going to feel the peace, the presence, and probably the conviction of the Lord. And maybe you're mulling some things over in your mind. Oh my gosh, Lord, are you speaking to me about missions? What about missions? Or is that not on my radar anymore? Or whatever Haley was talking about. What about this or what about that? What are you speaking, and how can I see that come to pass? Because whenever there's a response to what the Lord is calling us to respond to, then it opens up the door for incredible blessing. Way beyond. He's looking for first time things to take place in our life, but he's also looking for a repeat of things that have already taken place, but in a different dimension. He's looking for us to go back to the basics, as I used the word earlier, recalibrate, and then say, okay, Lord, here we go. What's next? And it's going to look different. Someone who knows you, well, someone who sees you will look at your life and say, whoa, there's a change. Wow, there's something new. Whoa, I didn't see this before. Wow, there's a difference in a person's tone or demeanor or the way they communicate or something. There'll be something that will be noticeable, because that's God. When we respond to him, then this change that comes from him on the inside is meant to dump not just inside of us, but on other people. It will happen. Sometimes when we're given blessings or what we believe are blessings from God, and things start moving in a certain direction, we can miss the very essence of what the Lord's intent would be. We may take We may take part of the blessing that God wants us to receive internally and then stop there. The Lord's saying, you know, it's time to get out of Pampers and get into, adulthood. And we've been saying that for years. And I would venture and say that most people in here would say, I'm not in Pampers anymore. And so whether you are or aren't, I don't care, don't know, whatever. But I'm saying that the Lord really is looking at our hearts and he's saying, I want to prepare you to receive from a brother Yoon who spent 10 years in prison sacrificing everything, where his one son, Isaac, never met him till he was 5, and followed the call on his life and found that intimacy with Jesus to be so strong and that he so changed on the inside that he became like the very essence of heaven. What if Abraham's wife would have said to Abraham, what if Sarah would have said, don't do this to Isaac? And maybe she did behind closed tent doors. But what if she rose up in pride and wanted her own way? Do you think Abraham would have said, well, I just need to let her work out her own process? No. Abraham would have said, woman, pay attention to Jesus or to the Father or whatever. And sometimes we need that within our relationships, within our own places. You know, said in different ways, but not tolerating pride, not tolerating disobedience, not tolerating the very things that the enemy has come to steal, and he still comes stealing and killing and destroying. So I have some scriptures that I gave Angela that I wanted to put up here. Excuse me. So let's go ahead and post those, Angela, if we can. And we want to look at these, and remember, we're thinking of the hearts behind everything. We don't want to present the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way, this is what I do, it's an event, and then I go get ice cream because I deserve it. Now, hear my heart on that, okay? I'm all about fun and ice cream and all that. That's not what I'm saying. But we don't ever want someone to receive in their minds or in their hearts that we're deserving of something because we sacrificed here. This is our deserving. We don't want a twisted gospel in any way. We want to be able to. It doesn't mean that we take another posture and says, well, you can't make it tough enough. That's not Jesus either. But we don't want to have anyone in here miss an opportunity to really present the gospel of the kingdom and not pride ourselves in that we're going to Green Light Missions or we're going overseas or anything like that. In any way, we want to understand more about pride than we ever understood before. Spiritually, we want to understand what Jesus says about it more so we can run from it and we can embrace the nature of Jesus. We want to go on a hunt for the nature, the goodness of God, and we want to be able to present the goodness of God faithfully and entirely to people, okay, when we're preaching. And so many people have been saying that in their messages around the world, and it's just the message of the kingdom. When we're preaching the goodness of God, you're so good. You saved us from what we just saw. You released us from all this shame and guilt and condemnation and fear. But you have brought us into this relational context with you that cannot tolerate anything but your goodness. Lawrence preached and taught a class on the goodness of God. It was sobering. But the Lord wants us to see in our daily actions, our daily attitudes, the daily things that we do, that this happiness that we feel inside cannot be mixed with the joy that God gives in there. We can be happy when we're joyful, for sure, but we got to be able to re- understand the difference through the change that's going on the inside. We really do. And we have to contend for that. Sometimes it's really, really not easy. And it's like, oh, I just feel kind of sluggish. I feel kind of yucky. I feel like this, or I feel like that, or it doesn't feel right. I don't have the feel. Well, sometimes that can be something else. It can be the very place God put you to receive an increase in humility, because he's wanting us to become just like him. And that's where we want to be able to discern that by spending time with him, what true, honest humility is. So let's look at this. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, ranked below others who are honored or rewarded. And he who humbles himself, keeps a modest opinion of himself, and behaves accordingly will be exalted, elevated in rank. Okay. Rank. What are we talking about? Oh my gosh, if I humble myself, I'm going to be able to be the one that holds the microphone or something like that. No. Not necessarily. When the Lord's increasing us, exalting us, he's wanting us to have a biblical understanding of the word exaltation. How is he exalting us? If we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will lift us up in due time. He will exalt us. If we don't understand the meaning of exaltation, we're going to think that worldly goods and position are ways God's exalting. And we're missing a big boat completely. And when we get into heaven someday, we'll have that straightened out. But it's better that we have that straightened out here. It's not about that. When we're bringing heaven to earth, we're releasing the presence of God into earth. Okay? When Joyce was singled out and then wrapped around in this kapalani, I just held her in my arms. You know, I didn't know someone was taking a picture. I don't care. I'm holding this girl, and I'm so upset with the enemy, crying for her. And it's like, no, this is not okay. But we had to go there to see it. And when I talked to the pastor and I said, you got to keep your eye on this girl. She's 10 years old. Keep your eye on her this year and help her. And he goes, well, I can't. She can't go to this church. Her grandmother goes to the Catholic church. I said, you go visit her. I said, her grandmother said she could come. So you go get her and you go help her. She can't. Okay. Thank you. This was an obvious one, but the Lord's saying, how many more like Joyce do we see that are around us that aren't just the ones we're comfortable with, the ones we're just comfortable doing life with? There's so many Joyces out there that God wants to open our eyes to see. And when he exalts us, or exalts us in due time, exaltation will be filling us with more of him. That's what it is. We get to become more like him. We get to become more like Philippians 2 Jesus. That's it. That's who Brother Yoon is like. And still saying, I'm not a man of faith. It's like, I want to give up and go home. Not really. Do you understand, though? Because there's such humility there before who Jesus is that's all that matters. We want to see that grow in this church, in this body, in our ministry. We want that above all else. It's the truth. So let's look at the other scriptures here. Do we have another one? Isn't that the one we read? Oh, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, forgiven, and made upright and in right standing with God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we have to go low, lower. We do. We can't. If our first response to anything that's asked of us is no, I can't, I won't, because we've got to stop and say, Lord, thank you for showing me. I've got to write this down so you can help show me where you're working in me, and let him. This Magdalena film that we showed, mostly in the South, because they don't have it in Tonga and some other languages that we need yet. We're going to call and see if they can get it for next year. But it's so good. It's like the Jesus film, showing other aspects of Jesus restoring honor and walking in humility, which he always is and does. But it shows another side. But at the end, Mary Magdalene is talking with this little girl, and she mentions that Jesus died on the cross. And she goes, but that's just terrible. Oh, but it ends really well. And then she talks about the resurrection, and it goes into that. It's really good. But we want our little kids, but we want our big kids, all of us, to walk in this grace that is released of humility, that God births humility. We can't make ourselves humble. You can humble yourself by dying to your personal wants and desires and things that God's showing you and saying no to self. But it goes way beyond that. It's about a grace. It's about grace that's released. Grace is an empowerment that's released. Grace. You can tell when someone is walking in extreme humility and you're in their presence, you can feel it. You can see it. You can read it in a text or an email or something. And not that people have to be perfect, you know, but it's like you want to be seen in heaven and known here on earth and feared in hell as a very, very humble person. That is the truth. And it's not enough to just hear a message on humility. We have to step in and say, Lord, I need your grace. I want everything in my life that is not representing you from that perspective to be destroyed. Oh, well, that's pretty strong. All right, let's try this one, the next one. Humble yourself, James 4:10, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. So humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, where you just, Lord, when I'm with you, I just want to cry. I just want to say, you are God. I am not. I worship you. I love it. I sing to you. I play the guitar, or I play the drums, or whatever I do. You know, whatever I do, I sing up here. I sing back here. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that when we're with him, oh my goodness, one-on-one, that we are undone, and then he does show us. He shows us what we're full of. He really does. And that insignificance, it's what that means is there's something that is not, it's not exalted inside of us. It's not the fullness of Jesus Christ on the inside. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. This is such a blessing. Let's go ahead. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Okay, we talked about this last week. I can't get away from it. I've been, once again, and I'm going to probably refer to it here, but this, I just keep this close to my heart. And, you know, you can perceive me as a lady always pushing books, but it's okay. But this humility, little tiny knife, you know, will come and slice your heart up in little bits in good ways. And it's like, wow. And when something hits you that you know, the flesh may want to rise up, when it doesn't rise up, when someone says something that is so ridiculously arrogant and prideful that you don't rise up in response to it, you know the Lord's really had an effect. You can recognize it. You can recognize arrogance and pride and foolishness, you know, in communications and things like that. But the way you respond to it, even when it first comes your way, those are the times and the places where the Lord is showing us it's working. What I'm doing is working. What I am up to is actually happening. But you're involved in the process because you've asked me to be involved in the process. So that's where we are today. How will we respond to our response from last week? How will we respond? As of last week, what changes are going on inside of us? What have we been willing to do? What have we been willing to let go of? Maybe it's fear of doing something that wouldn't be humble. Fear of humility. But sometimes, you know, when I was talking strongly to that lady in the village, I felt the fear of God in me, and I felt the humility of the Lord wanting to cover. But I felt the Lord say, help raise her up, help her see. Don't shrink back and go, that's okay. No. When we recognize something in ourselves and then somebody else, and how we respond to that is really, really significant and important, because that person may need us. Okay? Sometimes we need to be a little bit more helpful so that person can not get worse. If you find that the person next to you or close to you that you're praying for is getting worse, it's like, no, wait a minute, that's not compassion. Yes, it is. If they're getting worse and you're right there, ask God for the strategy to help them. If there's any desire to move in the area of humility, then help them. And God will be very, very gracious, you know, not condemning, but very gracious. So if there are many no's in your emotional heart, this is where the Lord's going to hit in this season. Many no's. The Lord says, I'm going to turn those no's into yeses. And they're going to become easier and easier, because you can't hide behind your pains anymore. Not in growing humility. Okay, next verse. But he said to me, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now this is Paul. This is Mr. Humble, who learned the hard way. But let's look at this, and let's really let the Lord kiss us with the kisses of his lips and his word. Let the word kiss us to life right now. You know, we can grow in humility and pull some of that pride out of our own hearts. Even just going through the word right now. Just say, Jesus, draw in. Drawing close to me, and I want to draw in close to you. I want to read this verse, and I so want to get what you're saying to me. I want to hear what you're saying. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect. My strength and power are made perfect, meaning fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Oh, I really can't do this right now. Well, maybe the Lord wants to change that. Maybe we don't want to do it. But when we take our weaknesses and look at them through these eyes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Don't let that other little voice say, yes, but. Just take the word for what it's saying right now so we can deal with where we are right now. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and they show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities. Stop and think about what that means. I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. Yes, pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. Do you love this? Okay, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and not read it. I'm going to read this out loud and listen. And let the Holy Spirit touch you. This is from Paul. And the Lord wants to change us on the inside right now. Okay? If we let him, we have to give it to him, because he wants to take, okay, every demonic stronghold every part of the flesh, anything from the outside coming toward us, and the inside may be there. I don't know. And he wants to extract it so he can give the divine replacement. But it has to be with our understanding of, yes, that was sin. Yes, that was pride. Yes, I say yes to you. Okay, let me read it to you. But he said to me, and then we'll go through verse 11 too, Angie, 9 through 11. But he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully or womanfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased, and I take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Now, I have been speaking like a fool, but you forced me to it, for I ought to have been saved the necessity and commended by you, for I have not fallen short one bit or proved myself at all inferior to those superlative or false apostles of yours, even if I am nothing, a nobody. Just put the next verse up too, please. For thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, bruised with sorrow for sin. Can you put that verse up in NASB, please? That would be great. So we want to gladly accept whatever the Lord will allow us in our own life, whatever it will be, to humble us before him or before man. We want to gladly accept that. And when we run from that, we are completely entangled by pride. If we run from that, if we don't run to that, to this statement, that I will gladly embrace anything, anyone that will be used to humble me. Okay? If I cannot embrace that easily, other than a joke, like, okay, I will. No, I'm serious, easily. Then the Lord is not able to continue the process. This is taking us up to another place. This is another dimension that he has for us. So I believe that something different this week is upon us. And I believe that God is wanting to touch us in a few more deeper places today. I am going to read a couple of things and then let us go chew on these things for our own life And I know that the closer we get to Jesus, in the sense that he's taking us over in our in our thinking, but mostly in our will, because our thinking goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And but we don't realize sometimes that our wills actually can be very strong and not able to be touched easily. And our emotions, too, because it doesn't feel okay. And so then our life becomes good because we're doing good things, but we're missing what the Lord's saying about obedience and humility, okay? And humility and pride. And I really believe that the fire of God is going to be so consuming and releasing that we will look back even on these years, even in the numbers that we have, and say, thank you, Lord, that you have been more determined to work in the midst of humility for me than anything else. Because you don't want me to walk in any kind of pride in myself, in that I accomplished anything at all without you. And that my heart for the things that burden your heart will be the fullness of what God has. So I'm excited about what God has for us right here. Humility makes the soul fear that it would dishonor God by not trusting him fully. Some of these are my own little notes here as I was thinking about humility, but I just want to give you a few nuggets that I dwell on and I think about. It's like, yeah, that's true, Lord. Humility makes my mind, my will, my emotions fear that I would dishonor you by not trusting you completely with my mind, my will, and my emotions. So, Lord, is that what you're saying to me, God, in this season? I know that it must be the object of special desire, prayer, faith, and practice as we study the Word, where we will see what very distinct and often repeated instructions Jesus gave his disciples on the point of pride and humility, and how slow they were in understanding him. I highlighted that in this place because I thought about it, and I thought, Lord, have I been slow in understanding you? I always ask him those things. There's nothing so natural to man, so insidious and hidden from our sight, nothing so difficult and dangerous as pride. Let us feel that nothing but a very determined and persevering waiting on God will disclose how lacking we can be in the grace of humility and how weak we can be to obtain what we seek. Let's study the very nature of Jesus until our souls are filled with the love and admiration of his humility. I think that's where the Lord is taking our group, our body, so that we're going beyond good messages and doing the work of the kingdom. And we're doing it. We are. But I believe that there's a special grace upon us in this season. There's a grace. It's from heaven. I can't make myself humble. I can't do anything like that. Neither can you. But there's a grace from heaven. But we have to position ourselves for that grace, to be fully motivated on the inside, and for the fear of God to so overwhelm us and take us that we could do anything with what belongs to us. Children, houses, cars, real estate, what else? Jobs, you know, any of our stuff, and say, Lord, this really belongs to you, and I can't have a no in my heart anymore. And I need the challenge. I need that challenge. I can't have a no. I need the challenge so that I will be able to say yes completely. And I think that when we move in those arenas, those are dangerous arenas, but those are good places where we will get past something that is protecting ourselves and even protecting the ones around us. If we hold on because we want to protect, we're missing what Abraham learned. If we want to, if we give in to what is not the voice of God in this area, we will perpetuate pride from moving that will protect. Pride protects. Jesus is not the author of pride. So Jesus is the one who has to protect. So we have to release. We have to release. We have to say yes. We can't put limits. We can't put God in a box or the family of God in a box. We have to change. We have to do that. And we can do that with this new grace. That is good. A couple more thoughts and then we'll close for the next wave of fun. Thank you. Can we put Isaiah 57:15 up? Yeah, there we go. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Think about that. I'm going to speak that over you too, okay? This is amazing. Can you just close your eyes for a minute? Think about this, okay? For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So this is where we are now, folks. The Lord says, I want to revive the spirit of the lowly. I want to revive the spirit of the contrite. You know, I was asking the Lord for forgiveness myself when I was in Mabalani, because I had not prayed the way I believe the Lord moved on my heart to pray for Joyce after we left last year. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, you reminded me by showing her to me again. It's like, oh, forgive me. That wasn't out of, you know, condemnation. My heart hurt. It's like, Lord, show me the people and let me be your vessel to see them all the way through, all the way to the end. So I determined in my heart this time, after the Lord gave me another opportunity, I don't blame myself. I didn't take her to a witch doctor, but I felt that the Lord was saying, sweetie, this girl you saw last year, remember, I have called you to stop for the one. And I said, Lord, I want to pray her home. I want to pray her all the way into the fullness. Wouldn't it be great that the next year when we go back, that she's up and wanting to preach the gospel? So I've determined in my heart for that. That's me. I'm not calling you to do that. But that's what the Lord told me. But when we're wanting to go lower with the Lord, there are things that we're going to ask for forgiveness for. Because he's going to show us the things that we could not see before. We couldn't see the blind, the deaf, the hurting, the lame as much. Okay? And there are plenty of people that I have prayed for that I have seen. But my heart is, Lord, I want to see who you see. And I want to feel what you feel. And I want to be able to help bring them out of the traps that they're in. And they will respond. They will respond. Why? Because they will respond to the humility in me, because I represent you. And even if they smash me down. And you know what's so interesting? I got from an unsuspected African pastor last night. I got a text to encourage me to continue to stand for things that, you know, the Lord is doing in our lives. And he said some words that might have been even more helpful yesterday morning when I was contending for a lot of things. But the Lord said, no, I'll give them to you at night to let you know I was thinking about you in the morning. And I smiled and I was so grateful. And it was, but the Lord allowed the struggle that I had in the morning with him in these places, these places of heaven, these dimensions for souls. for people, for you, for me, for our loved ones. Let's struggle together. Let's pray together. Let's go after these things together. But if we have no's in our heart, we can't. We're doing a lot of island hopping. But if we do it together, through repentance, through believing, through saying, Lord, I receive everything and now I give it away. We do this together, things are going to change in great ways. So keep looking there. This is so great. So I'm going to close with this, and you can just close your eyes. I don't have any fancy music or videos or anything right now today, but I just want to read you a couple things that I think will bless you. Philippians 2, 5 and 7 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Jesus' life was nothing that God would be all. He resigned himself with his will and his powers entirely for the Father to work in him. Of his own power, his own will, and his own glory, of his whole mission with all his works and his teaching, he said, "It is not I. I am nothing. I have given myself to the Father to work. I am nothing. The Father is all." Jesus found this life of entire self-renunciation, of absolute submission and dependence upon the Father's will, to be one of perfect peace and joy. He lost nothing by giving everything to God. That's what dying to self is. The Father honored his trust and did all for him, and then exalted him to his own right hand in glory. And because Christ had thus humbled himself before God, and God was ever before him, he found it possible to humble himself before men too. He was able to be the servant of all. His humility was simply the surrender of himself to God, to allow the Father to do in him what he pleased, no matter what men around might say of him or do to him. It is in this state of mind, in this spirit and disposition, that the redemption of Jesus has its virtue and effectiveness. It brings us to this disposition that we are made partakers of Christ. This is the true self-denial to which our Savior calls us. The acknowledgement that self has nothing good in it except as an empty vessel which God must fill, and also that its claim to be or do anything may not for a moment be allowed. It is in this, above and before everything, in which the conformity to Jesus consists. It's in the being and doing nothing by ourselves so that God may be all. Here we have the root and nature of true humility. It's because this is not understood or sought after that our humility is superficial and feeble. We must learn of Jesus, how he is meek and lowly of heart. He teaches us where true humility takes its rise and finds its strength, in the knowledge that it's God who works all in all, that our place is to yield to him in perfect resignation and dependence, in full consent to be and to do nothing of ourselves. This is the life Christ came to reveal and to impart, a life in God that comes through death to sin and self. If we long for this above everything, let's seek the holy secret of the knowledge of the nature of God as he every moment works all in all. The secret of which all nature and every person, above all, every child of God, is to be the witness that he's nothing but a vessel, a channel through which the living God can manifest the riches of his wisdom, power, and goodness. The root of all virtue and grace, of all faith and acceptable worship, is that we know that we have nothing but what we receive. We bow in deepest humility to wait upon God for it, for this. It was because this humility was not only a temporary sentiment, wakened up and brought into exercise when Jesus thought of the Father, but the very spirit of his whole life, that Jesus was just as humble in his fellowship with men as he is or was with the Father. He counted himself the servant of God for the men whom God made and loved. As a natural consequence, take this, husband and wives, brothers and sisters, individuals, as a natural consequence, he counted himself the servant of men, that through him the Father might do his work of love. He never for a moment thought of seeking his honor or asserting his power to vindicate himself. His whole spirit was that of a life yielded to God that he might work in it. It's not until Christians understand and study the humility of Jesus as the very essence of his redemption, as the very blessedness of the life of the Son of God, that that void will be filled with humility and it will become a burden on our hearts. It's not until we study his humility as the only relationship to the Father, and that Jesus will give that to us if we're to have any part with him. Brother or sister, are you clothed with humility? Ask your daily life. Ask Jesus. Ask your friends. Ask your children. Ask your parents. Ask your spouses. I'm adding all these things. Ask your buddies. Ask the world. And begin to praise God that there is opened up to you in Jesus a heavenly humility of which you have hardly known, and through which a heavenly blessedness can come to you. So, Father, we just thank you for just a reminder today that we can do nothing of our own strength. And, Lord, that we would receive any impartation you have for us, God, so we become more like you, Jesus. Father, we're in a season where you're shaking us up. You had people in Africa turning around and shaking themselves from top to bottom to realize that you want to shake everything right now. So we thank you for your love and your life. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be that this is the day that you penetrate in a new way, that you fill us with great peace, with great joy, in Jesus' name. And if you are not leaving in great peace and joy, let me just say that keep on contending, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and peace of God is here. And I really believe he's doing business with us in the area of this pride. And that could be the very thing that's bothering us. Just let God tell you and speak to you so that joy can fill those places even more, so we can be filled with joy. God bless you. Come stand near the fans. Amen. I'm finished.
On Wednesday, there were a number of men that were able to take about 10 guys to the event in Canton. I don't know if you saw it on the front page of the repository, but it was three Hall of Famers that gave testimony, and one of them in particular, his name is Dawkins. He was inducted this year. He just laid it out for people, so it was very good. And Joe Gibbs then came and finished up. Coach Joe Gibbs, he wrote a book called Game Plan for Life, and that's what the event was called. The head of the Hall of Fame did lead the
discussion with the three Hall of Famers. It was an official Hall of Fame event. So there were, I don't know, 800, 1,000 people at this event. And so there'll be things that I'll be calling on some of you men to follow up. We'll be getting some cards from that event. About 500 cards were turned in. And they're sorting through that now, and they thought they needed our help, but fortunately they have enough volunteers to sort through that. But we'll be getting these cards to write personal notes to these guys and inviting them to frontline or inviting them into relationship, depending on what their card said, if they received Christ, inviting them into the body of Christ or welcoming them into the body of Christ, and so on, so on, so on. So the event isn't done. It's ongoing, and we may have some mentoring opportunities with an individual man or two, and for each of us that want to participate in that. We'll see how that goes. This is the first time they've done the mentoring part, the discipleship part afterwards, so we'll see what they come up with and what the men actually put on the cards, especially the 10 guys that we were able to get there. And so we used up all the tickets that we purchased for the event, which was a good thing. And even better, the guys seemed to enjoy it because the guys on the stage really shared from their heart. And Coach Joe Gibbs, his son has some kind of crazy medical situation, so that kind of brought a bit of a seriousness to his sharing, because he flew in just to make sure that he gave out the gospel to these guys in a free book called Game Plan for Life. So I'd say we want to do it next year, bigger and better. This was our first dipping our toes into it. Now we kind of know what goes on, and we'll look forward to that next year. It is the first event where they actually have a meeting for the Hall of Fame, and they do it up as a Hall of Fame event, which is really awesome that they present the gospel at the beginning of the Hall of Fame events, with all the other craziness that goes on with that, and that these guys were really sharing about Jesus to all the men and a few women that showed up. So I think it's a good thing, and we'll see what the next steps are. Did we find out about the laundromat event? Okay, we said something about a laundromat event, which they invite people in for 4 hours of free laundry at a Christian laundromat, and we were going to be there with a worship and with some prophetic art and la-di-da-di-da. They've decided to put that into September, so August has just been freed up for you so much by that one event being taken out for 4 hours. But we do have a Revive Start coming up this next weekend. They do have a training tonight from 6 to 8 in Louisville. If you want to go to that, you can do that training, or you can do the training in Louisville next weekend just before some of the outreaches that they do. You can see Carly or myself for some of the details on that, but I plan to go to the one tonight to see what they do for the training. So we can be a little bit prepared for what's going on. If anyone wants to join me, see me afterwards. So, kickoff is Friday night in Louisville. We've sent out a number of emails, so check your email this week for all that information. It's packed in there for the Revive Start weekend. We go out in the streets. We meet and eat. We meet and eat and go to the streets. We meet and eat and go to the streets. It's kind of, good. They have three meals, and they have outreaches into the streets, and it's even up until next Sunday afternoon they go to the streets, and then in the evening they have a concert at the Civic Center that they're putting on. So we definitely want to hit the streets, whether we hit the concert or not. I'll let you know what I come up with as far as what happens with the training. But again, there's three more sessions of training. They had one yesterday, and I don't know how that went. I'll find out tonight. And if you want breakfast and training, you go next weekend to one of those. If you want just straight up tough training, you go tonight. I don't think there's any food. So that's why I'm going tonight. You know. Real men go to, no, I'm kidding. Okay, it's hot. And we have smiles on our faces because it's over. And you're out of the heat. And if they want you to do something for real life missions afterwards, you say, yes, I want to support my child. I want to support my son or daughter. What? What did I say? Green life? Okay, I meant green light. But there better be some life in it as well. So, really cool weekends coming up. Jump in. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.